Hey, Drew and Josh, just wanted to send along a did it anyway. I've been up to my ears in exposures these past few weeks, and one of the ways I've been moving forward has been by using exercise as an exposure in and of itself. Like many people, I had long believed that the symptoms of strenuous physical activity and the symptoms of a panic attack felt the same. And as a result, my damned amygdala was always screaming at me to stop, 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 now before you hurt yourself. But as I've approached exercise recently, I've discovered that it's a great way to dig two holes with one shovel. I'm getting out there and doing the thing while also being able to act back, not talk back to those worries. I almost ran 6 miles today and I didn't have to fight my mind at any point. It's a huge step in the right direction. Thank you both for all you do. Welcome to Disordered. This is episode number 41. We're talking about heart, gym, exercise, and exertion anxiety. I am Drew Linsalata, a graduate student in clinical mental health counseling and a therapist in training in the state of New York and the US of A. I am an author, podcaster, educator on the topic of anxiety disorders, and a former sufferer for over 25 years on and off with anxiety disorders and depression.
And I am Joshua Fletcher, also known as Anxiety Josh. I'm a psychotherapist specializing in anxiety disorders in Manchester in the UK and co-host of this podcast. Mm-hmm.
I love this topic, heart, gym, and exercise anxiety.
Yeah, I mean, that did it anyway was... a brilliant way to start this episode. I did struggle with this for a while, years back. What about you?
Oh, in a big way. I mean, I'm a big gym rat. I don't hide that. And going back into the gym was one of the best things I did, but also one of the most scary things I did. We can talk about all the crazy rituals that I know you had and I had. But yeah, I had this for sure.
Yeah, we can talk through them one day. I mean, now I'm all right with it and it's okay, but we can talk through some of the experiences that we had. Talk about heart anxiety. We'll talk about gym anxiety in the sense that some people are afraid to go to the gym because they're afraid of the symptoms of panic. And some are just afraid of the gym because they're afraid of judgment, mm-hmm. social anxiety. And yeah, I mean, it can often bring up a lot of shame in people. I found that the gym is almost like an arena for people that brings up a lot of uncomfortable emotions and feelings.
I think it could be all of those things at the same time. It could be really challenging because there could be, I just don't like people looking at me because I don't like the way I look, or I feel like I'm not competent at the gym. And then if I'm anxious at the gym, that's even worse. People might see me be anxious at the gym. So it can really snowball. It could be a challenging place. I didn't get that.
What was it like for you then?
I think it was like, for me, I was a little bit more of the mechanical, like these feelings that happen in my body when I push my body and exert myself feel so much like panic that I would panic in the gym. And they would, you know, it was normal after a set of squats or bench press or whatever I was doing, of course your heart's going to race. And I would try and lift heavy weight and get back into that because that's what I like to do. No judgment, it's just what I like to do. And especially in leg exercises where there's a lot of oxygen consumption and those huge muscles, you know, you end those sets feeling gassed and a little bit lightheaded. And oh boy, that was such a hard thing to experience because that felt like everything I was terrified of. So I would panic in the gym all the damn time at first.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I was a constant monitor. So monitor.
Yeah.
My heart, my pulse. The damn fitness watch things that come in. In fact, when I was struggling with anxiety, didn't have a fitness watch. I had one of those monitors on the back of your phone. So I put my finger on it and to make sure that it was in the right, it wasn't beating too fast
or yes.
if it was beating regularly. But these heart monitors weren't that great either. So it was just fueling my anxiety. It was like, you know, it was a 120 and now it's 180 and now it's 150 and now I'm getting... I used to get like heart palpitations. So I'm like, oh, what if I have a heart palpitation when I'm on the treadmill mm-hmm. And then my heart explodes? Or what if I push it too far, even though my body was capable of way more, you
yeah.
know, but it feels like you're pushing it to its very limit. Yep. And it's like, well, no, that's the sensation that it's giving you. It's very okay to exercise with adrenaline. That's what most kind of athletes run with.
Yeah.
Professional athletes have got adrenaline pumping through their bodies, which is, you know, physiologically very similar to feeling anxiety. Mm-hmm. And it's regarded as performance enhancing. But for people with anxiety disorders, particularly fear of fear.
Yeah.
It can make us go inwards, and it feels debilitating.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I found myself doing, and this was helpful when I gained the awareness of this, is I would go to exercise because I wanted to. I just wanted to feel better, like physically. And then I would exercise, but also try to lower my heart rate. Like, hello. What? Yeah, it was completely absurd. But I was so afraid of feeling those things that when I first went back to the gym, I would raise my heart. I knew I was going to raise, I'm not dumb. I would raise my heart rate and then try desperately to breathe properly to lower my heart rate.
Oh, I have done that when I was playing football.
Yeah.
So I was looking at my heart rate monitor. I was like, oh, that's a bit high.
Yeah.
You know, and even though I felt like I could run a bit more and sprint, I was like, oh, I better not push it.
Yeah.
And I was like, because people with anxiety disorders, one of the main fears is, you know, or what if I lose control in some way? And sometimes this can manifest as, what if my heart stops because the anxiety plus the exertion of exercise? Mm. Oh, surely that's too much.
Oh, too much for sure. So it was the weird thing that I discovered that I was doing on a regular basis. I would do it a lot during cardio too. I'd be on a bike or a treadmill or whatever, and I'd feel like, oh, my heart rate is going too high. I don't like this. I would be afraid of it. And I would try to slow my breathing down. Like, how ridiculous is it for a human being to be trying to run and breathe slow at the same time? I mean, I could laugh about it now for sure, but at the time it seemed like the right thing to do. I better slow down my breathing. And then I would start to get really out of breath because I was trying to not breathe so hard, but my body needed to breathe hard. And I made a mess of it for a while. I really did.
I imagine one of many safety behaviors.
Oh, geez. You're looking for the defibrillators on the wall. We talked about that a little in the last episode. How far away am I from an AED? Can the guy working the desk today at the gym, does he even know it's there? There were so many times I almost wanted to do that sneaky reassurance thing of just mentioning it on the sly, you know, like no one would notice that I was talking about it, just to see if he knew what they were. And I'm like, it was tiring.
I used to have social anxiety in the gym, but the need to be rescued. So I tactically positioned myself so if I collapsed, someone could see me, but I wouldn't be as close to them. So I didn't feel the shame of kind of trying to compare myself to these, you know, gym people that are in there constantly with amazing bodies and all that. And yeah. I'd be like, what a conflict of anxieties affecting my behavior.
Yeah, I don't want to be seen, but I really need to be seen. Like, no win for you and your poor brain at that moment, right? So I get it. And I think it's so important that we acknowledge that there's such a wide-ranging message, and there's truth in this, that anxiety is helped by exercise. And one of the things that I think beats on our community a lot is, all I hear is how exercise is good for me, but it makes me feel worse. What's wrong with me? Yeah, it will make you feel the things you fear. Nobody, you know, people who say like, oh, exercise is the best thing for anxiety, forget that if you're afraid of that anxiety, you're not just doing stress management, you are intentionally triggering the things you are terrified of. So they forget the part where they tell you it's going to be scary before it's good for you. It's always good for you, but
yeah, it's going to be scary. It's not just the heart as well, that when you are in the gym, someone asked me the other day, like, I like going to the gym, but the feeling I get after the gym, I feel derealization, dissociation, and therefore I avoid it, or I don't push myself as much as I'd like because I don't like the feeling of feeling nauseous or derealized after the gym. So we kind of got to put that in there too.
That's true. The feeling after. I remember at one point calling my doctor because, you know, he was like, come on, get on the treadmill. And I was in terrible shape. This was really in the thick of it. I was going through the antidepressant withdrawal. He was like, come on, I want you to get and at least move a little bit. And I did. And I remember calling him after being on the treadmill. And he was so nice. He got on the phone with me and he's like, what's going on? I'm like, my heart is beating. I don't know what's going on. He's like, you were on the treadmill. It's okay. Your heart is okay. And by the way, we should throw this in here. Anybody that's giving you sort of any talk about exercise would say, make sure that you're okay to exercise. You've been medically cleared for that. We have to say it.
Yes.
But, you know, that we're assuming that you are physically healthy here. But yeah, he was so nice and he had to talk me down after the exercise, like, I don't like this feeling. And he was like, it's okay. Yeah, he was great. But
yeah,
I used to get that feeling for sure.
Yeah. And it's one of those. I remember the difference is like, you know, you're doing all right when I like to use like the cross trainer a lot and stuff. And on the cross trainer, back when I was in the middle of an anxiety disorder, my whole attention would just be scanning how I felt, how I was breathing, monitoring for palpitations. Am I getting dizzy? Am I getting lightheaded? And I noticed the other day I was on the cross trainer and I was just thinking about nonsense. I was just thinking about like daydreaming. I was just like, oh, I wonder what I need to do for work later. Or I was living some memories, or just, just letting the brain go off and do what it needs to do. But comparing that to the midst of that threat monitoring compulsion where I feared anxiety, where I was going through the motions, not enjoying it because my attention was locked into how I felt. And I think that's a big difference, where our attention often goes internal because we're trying to scan for the disaster.
Yeah, you had no room. There's no room for any other thoughts. It was just, I must scan to stay safe. Now maybe you could be on the trainer and like thinking about, I don't know, the book you have coming out. That would be a thing to think about.
Yeah. So if here's the advice.
I got you back.
Yeah. If you pre-order, and how does that make you feel whilst you're on the trainer? Don't do that. You might risk injury. But yeah, keep the questions coming. Really enjoying them, by the way. Pre-order my book and I'll answer your question. Just email me proof of purchase and I will answer any question you have.
If you go to Disorder.
Thanks, Drew. Thanks for helping me plug.
You're very welcome. If you go to disorder.fm/41, I'll have a link to Josh's pre-order. It's a good book. Anyway, back to gym anxiety. The being so focused on how I was feeling and if I was overdoing it and if I was going to be okay and if I was going to panic, it was really hard. And my analog to that would be having times when all I wanted to do was leave. And I did. There were times when I did walk out of the gym, one or two times when I did go back home. And I just gave in to the fear, like, this is too much. And I did go back home. That was hard. I beat myself up a little over that. But there were a lot of times when I'd walk out and just maybe hang out in the parking lot, or let me sit in the car for 5 minutes, and I'd go back in. There was a lot of that for me. I didn't have any room to actually engage in the exercise I was doing. I was just too worried about trying to manage my body and make sure it was okay. So when I stopped doing that, when I was able to not do that, or for me, it started to look like shorter time between the trigger of like, I better go home, and the, oh no, I don't have to go home, I could do this. That became, that time became shorter and shorter. Otherwise I'd spend a lot of time between sets sitting at a bench, looking to see how far I was from the door, debating whether or not I should go home or go outside and get some air. A lot of that. Didn't care what I was doing. Didn't know how much I was lifting. Didn't matter. Just, should I leave? So,
yeah. How much of from the perspective, we'll go on to kind of the social anxiety theme bit in a bit, but how much from the perspective is it like kind of the gym can make me feel symptoms of disordered anxiety that I don't like? And a lot of it's to do with the heart and things like that. But there's, you know, there's other ones as well. Like I used to have this one where I hated muscle twitching. So I purposely wouldn't lift like healthy amounts of heavy weights because I didn't want to feel my muscles twitch. I hated that. I had that one for years.
Oh, I had so many muscle twitches back in those days. And you know, that's one of those things that if you start to bring it up, you'll get a million different bits of advice.
I know, it's so weird.
Right?
Like, I thought you meant one of those things that if you start focusing on it.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
It starts twitching more. I'm like, stop it.
Right. I remember having twitches in all the muscles of my body and thinking, well, I know sometimes people get eye twitches, but like, am I supposed to feel a twitch in my left quadricep? Like any muscle could start twitching. And surprisingly, as I got better at dealing with those things, the twitching went away, as it turns out. But being so focused on it that I would bring it on even more. And that's a tough one because there's a shit ton of advice out there on like, oh, you need more magnesium or you need more potassium, eat bananas, do this, blah, blah, blah. No, none of it applied to my twitches. It was just, I was terrified of every feeling in my freaking body. It's tough.
Also, it makes sense because anxious people are tense. And when you're tense, almost every muscle in your body tenses up. So then you tense and then you go and do a healthy workout. You're going to get some benign fasciculations like, That's the body just doing what it does.
Also, there was the anytime I would add a different exercise. I remember the first time I got back in the squat rack, and I had been at the gym for many, many years. I was in terrible shape. I gained a ton of weight while I was on the meds. And I remember the first time I squatted, I was just using the bar. I'm a pretty decently built dude at this point, but I was squatting just the bar, 45 pounds, which is a little bit embarrassing for me doing that day. And I walked out of the gym like a baby giraffe. My legs were shaking And that terrified me, but that's just because I hadn't done that in 10 years.
Oh, no shame in that, Drew. I've done squats where it's just my body weight.
Yeah, body weight squat. That'll do it.
And the next day, my legs are hurting.
Yeah, or shaking, or they'd be sore the next day. And I'm like, oh, that soreness can't be good. Something must be wrong. I have to monitor the soreness. And
this is the thing. If you do struggle with this type of anxiety, you know, or you see gym as like a medium, long-term goal for you, you know, start by practicing getting your heart rate up. Go for a strenuous walk. Walk up and down your stairs if you have stairs. If you don't have like kind of access to use your legs, maybe perhaps you're in a wheelchair or I've got mobility issues, do some exercise maybe at home. Get your arms moving. Do something like that. Get something that gets the heart rate up. And then you can start practicing with these symptoms called interoceptive exposure. And it teaches the brain, look, actually, this is all healthy stuff that my brain and body is designed to do. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Drew said the disclaimer before, make sure you get the okay from your doctor and stuff. But most people can find that they can exercise in some way that's comfortable for them. Mm-hmm. Comfortable in the sense that non-anxious you would be comfortable doing it. Not comfortable in the sense of, I want to avoid this because I don't want to feel anxious.
Yeah. The interoceptive exposure was so helpful to me because I understood what that was. And that's what got me to be able to move through all of the struggles that I'm talking about, because I knew that's what I was doing, and I was, and it was really helpful. But I think it's also important for me to be honest and say, I didn't go from completely sedentary to jumping into the gym, a public gym. I spent a lot of time on the treadmill in my basement, walking it, and a painfully slow pace. That's how I started. So it's okay. If I've literally told people, if you have to stand up in front of your sofa and just walk in place because that gets your heart rate or you're breathing to the point where you're uncomfortable, it's perfectly okay to start there. You don't have to start.
It's a good start.
100%. There's nothing wrong with it at all. So,
yeah.
You know, don't.
Yeah, good start.
Yeah. I did all of that stuff before I was able to go to that gym. So.
Did you ever have esteem issues in the gym? I worked with and had that myself. I'm all right now, don't really care. But like in the past, like the gym can be quite a symbolic place for people. It brings up kind of a lot of things for them.
Yeah, I mean, I will admit I did not really have those problems. There were moments when I knew like, boy, I'm this weight. For me, it was lightweight historically, but that's because of where I had been for the previous 10 years. That was hard. It felt a little bit embarrassing, but I generally don't struggle with that stuff. But I'm thankful for our community that has helped me understand that in the times that I have been in the gym, I can see the people that I know are struggling. And unfortunately, I was in a gym that was, you know, it was owned by a powerlifter and a bodybuilder. So there was a lot of meatheads. And I use that word for myself too. Mm. It was a hard environment for some people. It could be intimidating. I get that for sure. Mm. But I didn't have that issue. You started with that issue, you think?
A little bit. I think I grew up in a town where it was important for like, there's a lot of gyms around. It's important to be big. It was a rugby town, so it was important to be big and muscly and all that stuff. And when I was younger, I did find it intimidating. Now I don't, but yeah, that used to play a part in it. But I think there's so much pressure on kind of body image and stuff now, body sculpting. And don't get me wrong, if you're into bodybuilding, things like that, Good for you. Yeah. You know, you do those things. You want to look after yourself. Good for you. But it, how you value yourself is completely up to you. How you look and how big your muscles are, how trimmed you are. You know, if you think that that's how you should value yourself, then, you know, I'd invite you to question that. The gym I go to now, yes, there's a mix, but there's a lot of very kind of aesthetically pleasing people, should we say, from a conventional sense. You know, it's quite intimidating, both people of all genders in there, just kind of and you think, oh gosh, if I'm walking in there for the first time, I'm just coming out here, I've been struggling with anxiety, I've got self-esteem issues, this is quite intimidating. Also, I found as well that the gym can almost act as like a reminder of the school playground. And this comes up a lot in my practice. It's like, oh, wow, I'm an adult and I'm going in here. But it taps into a fear, a conditioned response in the amygdala that you're just like, oh, I remember this. And are you going to press the amygdala button?
I'm thinking about it.
I saw your face. You're like, oh. But also, it can be the arena ran by the arena master that is Craig the Critic.
Yeah, 100%.
It's Craig the Critic.
Yeah, I was faster on that. I did good.
Can be there waiting.
You know what? The gym does. Maybe this is a little bit more of a male specific thing, but I think for everybody, for women too, there seems like that built-in hierarchy in the gym. These are the biggest people, the strongest people, the fittest people in different categories. This person is very functionally fit or incredibly flexible or has a very high degree of cardiovascular fitness, and I don't. That person's bigger than me and stronger than me, and I'm not. So it could be really easy to buy in. You know what? Even without that type of anxiety, it can be easy to fall into that trap. Oh, I'm not as big as that guy. I'm not as strong as that guy. Like, no. I got to back away from that stuff. That might make you feel a little eh. Like, I wish I was, or I'd like to be stronger. I'm working on it. But like, all right, I'm not. What am I going to do?
You just don't need to be either.
Right. Okay. Not today. I'm not stronger than, and I'm not as strong as him today. Might never be. All right.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Doesn't matter.
I'm all right anyway.
Doesn't matter. Like, I walk into the gym now. I'm like, yeah, they worked it out of themselves. I know my limits, and I can't go to the gym more than 2-3 times a week.
Yeah.
Because I die of boredom.
Get that.
I go on my punching bags. I'll do some weights, and I'm like, well done.
Yep.
I like the feeling afterwards. I know it's good for me. I like getting reaping the benefits later psychologically. But yeah, I'm not going to compare myself to those guys, you know. And I've got many traits that they probably envy in me. And same with you. Like, you've got traits that they probably envy. It's okay. 100%. The gym shouldn't be seen as that. Also, you know what we like about exposures. If it scares you,
do it.
Go do it anyway.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's interesting because if you have that sort of like shame feelings or embarrassed feelings or social anxiety going on, it would be tempting for me to try and explain it away. Don't worry about it. Nobody's looking at you. But it is true. I do want to mention that because the vast majority of people, even the guys throwing big weights around in the free weight area, I'm just so focused on what I'm doing that if you ask for help, I'm happy to do it. If you're in the gym working on yourself in any way, shape, or form with the lightest weights and the slowest speed in the treadmill, good for you. And I think
no one cares.
We're not looking at you. No one's looking at you. And if we are, there's a level of respect. You're here too. We're doing different things, but so what? Everybody should be welcome there. But it's hard to really believe that.
Yeah, particularly if you're not in the best shape at the moment, or your doctor says you might need to lose a bit of weight or whatever, it doesn't matter. You're in there for you. Other people don't matter. That's okay. And if you've got to go in there with the anxiety disorder stuff and you've got that two layers of fear, well, that's a double did it anyway.
Absolutely.
Which you are more than capable of handling.
I'm never going to forget this one guy. I'm never going to see him again. My gym has been closed for many years now, that gym. But the highest level of psychological flexibility and probably okayness I've ever seen in a gym ever was a guy who would be there all the time. He was committed. So respect to him. He would be on a stationary bike with a can of Coca-Cola and a candy bar. And I remember thinking, that is a level of okayness with himself that we can all aspire to. Like, y'all can go to hell if you don't like this. This is what I'm doing now. And he would. And good for him. More power to him. That was a choice he was making.
Like that.
Yeah.
He just reminded me, there's a guy on my football team. he used to eat a sandwich on the touchline minutes before kickoff. I'm like, if I ate that, I get a stitch immediately.
Yeah.
But he's having a sandwich and then a cigarette. And he's just smoking. He's waiting for kickoff.
Yeah.
This guy.
Where did he go? Just throw the butt on the floor and boom.
Yeah, and he just runs on. The pitch. And it just runs. And I'm just like, wow. And I'm, I'm in perceivably better shape. And I'm worrying about my heart exploding, running around playing football. Yeah. And he's there like, nah, screw it.
Yeah, just smoke a cigarette before I run out on the pitch. I mean, I think it's sometimes we can use.
Don't do that.
No, I
would. We don't condone that. But I'm saying that your body can take more than what you think.
Yeah, the anxiety in that arena will make us treat ourselves like we're very fragile or we're made of glass, but we're not. Again, assuming that you are healthy and there's no underlying physiological condition. But even if there is, within the limits of that condition, you know, there are things you may be capable of doing, you know, properly under medical supervision. But anxiety will tell us to treat ourselves like we're just literally made of crystal and we're going to shatter at any moment. And my experience in the gym taught me that was not true. It was incredibly valuable. It was difficult, but it was incredibly valuable to me. It was a huge part of my recovery.
Yeah. And also on the identity side of things, and if you're someone who's perhaps been bullied or shamed or whatever, people in there are not out to get you.
No.
Your anxiety will tell you you don't belong here. People are judging and shaming. No, no, no. There are often things that dredge up in ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong. Humans are human. You might get a judgmental person in there, whatever, but they're not out to get you.
Yeah.
You know, and if they did and bullied you, they'd be banned from the gym, wouldn't they? So, you know,
We have gyms here. We have a gym chain called Planet Fitness, which people like. It's funny because it's the people will pick on Planet Fitness because there's a big bowl of Tootsie Rolls on the way out. Like, but it's a friendly place. It's supposed to be, there's a lunk alarm there. Like, we don't have barbells full of big plates here. And if you drop your weights and you grunt, we're going to sound the lunk alarm and you don't belong here. So they even try to accommodate that because it's a well-known phenomenon that people would be self-conscious in the gym or maybe a little bit embarrassed. So they try to accommodate that and help people. I love that. It's a good thing. I don't pick on Planet Fitness. I'm glad they're there. So
yeah. Do you must get the grunters in your gym. I can't stand the grunters.
The biggest argument I ever saw in a gym was this guy was a monster. I mean, he was a competitive power lifter and he was incredibly strong. So much respect for the work that he had put in. And there was a woman who would be in that gym every day. A lot of as much respect to her. She could have been more than about 5'2", 120 pounds soaking wet. She went at that guy so hard because of the grunting and the testosterone and the dropping the weight. Now, dropping the weights, I get, they're heavy and it's a rubber floor, can drop the weights. Boy, what an argument they had because of his grunting. And I remember thinking,
I can't stand the grunt. She couldn't take it. Going back to the misophonia episode, I'm like,
couldn't take it.
Is that needed?
That's what she told the guy. She was right up in his face, too. No fear.
Stop grunting. Because it's aggressive and it makes people feel uncomfortable.
Her thing was just like,
I wouldn't go up to tell him, but I'm glad that she did.
Oh, she had no fear. She walked right up to him and she got right up in his face. And I remember all looking at it like, good for her in a way. I mean, she just said, it's just kind of rude because what if I just started singing my music at the top of my lungs? She had a reasonable point. And admittedly, he was a little aggressive, but then backed up and he was like, you know, you're probably right about the singing thing. All right, let me see what I can do. And they worked it out. So. But
that's good.
Yeah, even in that situation where this guy was a competitive strength athlete, he was there to lift as much weight as the chalk, you've seen that guy. Even he was willing to work with a woman who had completely different fitness goals and was there for totally, and they found some common ground. So the gym will look very intimidating, but unless you walk into a hardcore powerlifting gym where everyone there is trying to break a world record, no one cares what you're doing.
Yeah, you won't find me in that gym.
Yeah. Those are pub. Tough places. No, I'm sorry. I'll be in the pub. You go there. I'll go over
you, here. You go for it, guys. I'll give you emotional support.
Sure. I totally get it. But I've seen also a lot of people who were really brave, went into the freeway area, asked for help. You know, and if you're that person, you take that little dip your toe in and risk that that icky feeling of embarrassment or shame or like, oh, I'm not good enough, and you do it, good for you. Working on tolerance.
What about the other people who use the gym compulsively?
Ooh, that's a thing. I used to wonder about that too, because you would always walk in and you'd see that person who has been on the stair mill for 2 hours. You know, now maybe they were a competitive athlete and that's what they had to do. I don't know. But I've known people who feel that they must use the gym compulsively because if they don't, they might feel bad. Okay, I get it. Like stress reduction and exercise as a stress management tool, that's different. For somebody who's dealing with an anxiety disorder who tries to use the gym to keep that at bay.
The gym is avoidance.
Then it becomes an avoidance. Correct.
We did it anyway, actually, didn't we? Not so long ago. The guy, I think it was a month or so ago, a guy wrote in and said, actually, I chose not to go to the gym because every time I get anxious, I exercise as an outlet for all the adrenaline.
Yep.
This time he did the opposite. He was like, actually, I'm not going to go to the gym now.
Right.
Because I know that's my safety behavior.
Yeah. Or it becomes such a part of the recovery routine. Every day I get up, I have to go to the gym for an hour. I must meditate for 20 minutes. I drink my green tea. That stuff, if you feel like you want to do it and it's helping you, then awesome, do it. If you feel like you have to do it or you must do it or you should do it, then it might be something to consider in your recovery. Like back off a little bit, that flexibility. What if I skip a day in the gym purposely? I'm going to be uncomfortable. I risk maybe being anxious that day. Okay. We have to learn those lessons, right? So good point. Really good point. Compulsive gym going as or exercise as part of compulsive recovery.
Excellent.
I remember hearing from a guy who's an interesting story too. And actually he circled back around in my Facebook group years later, about a year later, and he was better, but he had developed the habit of doing push-ups. Get on the ground and do push-ups. I know what to do. If I start to get anxious, I can just bang out some push-ups and it burns off the adrenaline, which we could talk about if we want. That's actually a fallacy biochemically, but he felt that if he would do push-ups, he could stave off panic. And then he got in trouble at a concert. He went to a concert and he tried to do push-ups at the concert and they wouldn't have it. He's in a crowd of people and he was so annoyed. They don't understand. This is my coping mechanism. And about a year later,
it just looks like he's showing off. Yes, he was push-ups.
That's exactly right. About a year later, he was able to say, oh, I see what I was doing there. But I get it. He was using it as a bit of a, an avoidance thing. And then he figured it out after a while. But sometimes it happens with people.
Regardless of what your anxiety is surrounding the gym, the most common one is the heart one.
Yep.
You know, I'm afraid to get my heart rate going. I have ectopic beats. They skip. What if I'm messing around with it? And once you have the all clear from your doctor or, you know, your team or whatever, if you want to go that far, then, yeah, start practicing with it. Bit at a time. Go up and down the stairs. You know, you don't have to go to the gym. You can just do your own exercise. That's fine. You know, the gym is not for everyone. Some days I just don't go and just decide to go for a jog instead or go for a run because I want to be outside and whatever. That's okay. If you've got the type of social anxiety and identity anxiety around being in the gym, you know, that's always worth taking to therapy and challenging as well. I'm just being like, one, understanding why. So Strudel's having a drink of water. I don't know if you can hear that.
I'm enjoying watching him in the background. He's been very entertaining this whole time.
He's been deadlifting behind
Josh's dachshund is
managed to dachshund doing roids behind me. But yeah, it's if it's that social anxiety, it's always worth reflecting on. You know, why? Actually, I know rationally it's a gym, no one really cares, so I can challenge that threat response. There and also on the flip side, the people that use the gym and exercise compulsively. I know people even who don't have disordered anxiety but do have levels of anxiety where they will run every single day for hours until they are exhausted, because it's like, what happens when you stop?
Yeah,
and they don't like that. I don't like the feelings when I stop. Usually a lot of people with a productivity anxiety, which was the last episode, that can coincide with anxious gym compulsions and exercise compulsions.
It's a good point, because even regular, air quotes, regular people can fall into those traps, right? Like, I remember Thanksgiving in the U.S., like, is the gym going to be open on Thanksgiving? Are you open on Thanksgiving? Well, yeah, in the morning. Good, I got to get in my workout before I, like, regular people can fall into that trap. I have to do this.
And also not forgetting, like, some people who with incredible bodies don't do that unhealthily too.
True.
There's lots of people with body dysmorphia and lots of people that pursue a lot of these things for the wrong reasons. Don't get me wrong. Some people do it for the right healthy reasons. If you want to be a bodybuilder, you want to do all these things, that's cool. But I know from experience as well, you know, I know people that do it unhealthily. Like, if I don't do this a certain way, I don't have value. This is my entire identity.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're a multifaceted, wonderful human being.
Yep.
This is just one of the traits you have.
Always tough to see in the gym, because you do see a lot of that. It's, especially in the circles that I traveled in, you would see a lot. Like, you're checking for abs after every set in the gym. People are susceptible to this sort of thing. And if you're dealing with an anxiety disorder, you might be a little more susceptible to those compulsive behaviors. So just be on the lookout. The only thing that I would maybe add is, using exercise as part of your recovery, I'm a huge proponent. It helped me. I started literally walking slowly on my treadmill. I didn't go right to the gym and start squatting. But be careful where you take your exercise / anxiety advice from. I'm not trying to besmirch anyone here. And if somebody makes their living as a fitness influencer, that's totally fine. More power to them. But just be careful about trying to emulate a person who is a professional gym goer and use that in your anxiety recovery.
As the barometer.
That's exactly right. That person, it might not, maybe that person lived through what you were. That's possible. They could have had that experience and they wound up there, but just be careful about it, because I've seen people get into trouble with that too. And also the nutrition part of it. Be careful about that.
And don't compare yourself to us. I mean, it took many years for this 8-pack shredded biceps and absolute Adonis of a body You know, you don't get pace after that. You know, I know we are. Yeah. We could make a calendar, disordered calendar. I'm Mr. February.
Oh, good.
It's like, yeah, and I'm just like, yeah, holding a giant axe. And
you got to put me like in September, because if you put me in January, they'll throw the calendar away and they won't even use it for the rest of the year. That
No. You've got it. You've got it. We've both got it. We've flaunted it.
I had to eat a lot of pizza to get to this. Give yourself time.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That was really good. Absolutely. Gets to the stage of the episode now where we like to answer questions and share dinner anyways. We got dinner anyway.
We have a good dinner anyway. Let's hear from this one, because I think it's really solid.
Hello, my name's Alexandra, and you are currently hearing from me as I'm standing in Rhodes, Greece. I'm originally from the United States, New York. I am a study abroad student studying. I have anxiety, panic attacks, and because of this, I've been very agoraphobic. But I did it anyway, is that in 15 days, I will happily be able to say that I have studied, stayed, and pushed through every trial that I've been in, to be able to say that I've stayed for 3 months in a foreign country, thousands of miles away from home. Your guys' podcasts have helped me so much, not only in the department of understanding what's going on, but also understanding that I can do this in the end. So thank both of you so much for being here on my journey, even though you guys did not know you were on it. But I am so excited to be able to go home and have all these memories of not only the good times, but me pushing through the bad times. So thank you.
So good.
That's amazing.
Rhodes.
I love that. From Rhode Island to Rhodes?
Rhodes. Oh, she was a New Yorker. Checking in, man.
Yeah. I just wanted to squeeze into it. That's amazing. Well done. And again, hear the pride in your voice, and you should be proud of that. It's outstanding, and well done for your studies as well. And thank you for sharing that. I also love that you didn't know you were part of my journey. I think that's really sweet. I think I need to...
No, we knew.
I think I need to remind myself of that when my own Craig the Critic screams.
Right. Now, that's exactly right. We were watching. We just didn't know it. Creepy.
Yeah, that is creepy.
That is super creepy. We weren't watching. I'm kidding. I'm making a bad joke. Anyway, well done.
We got some questions. Have you got a question, or should I want me to read a question?
No, why don't you go to the questions?
Okay. Okay, here we go. Hi there. Thank you for all that you guys do. The podcast is incredibly helpful, and I look forward to the new episodes being released. Thank you. My question is in relation to techniques, methods, and tools that my therapist is recommending that somewhat go against the approach that you guys provide. For example, he has recommended affirmations as a way to get rid of the anxiety. No, not as a way to get rid of the anxiety, but to rather put positive things in our minds when things sometimes appear very gloomy, more like a lifestyle habit for general wellness. Other techniques he has mentioned relate to reframing negative thoughts into positive ones. I get a little confused on this, because the acceptance part is about accepting and allowing, surrendering to everything that comes, but being recommended to reframe thoughts somewhat goes against that notion, as it's doing something in response to the anxiety thoughts. I'd love to hear your opinions on this. Thanks again.
I think, first of all, it's really hard for us to, neither of us wants to critique your therapist, right? Because they know you, and they know what you're working on. So keep that in mind. But also keep in mind that a therapist gets to bring whatever theoretical orientation they want into it in a way. And I'm pretty sure they always mean well. The affirmations, what do you think about that? I don't say it's inherently bad. I mean, affirmations can be used in real productive ways, I think, as long as they're not compulsive use of affirmations to make the anxiety go away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really use affirmations, but I'm a different therapist.
Right.
It's up to you to decide whether they're good. You did mention, you know, as not as a way to get rid of anxiety. So
it's good.
Your therapist doesn't suggest doing that compulsively, which is good. It depends. For me, if you're struggling with an anxiety disorder, you've got to work with someone who's anxiety disorder informed.
I agree.
I think I'm really important. That's really important. Don't get me wrong. You probably get stuff out of therapy, because your life isn't just an anxiety disorder. There's many things that happen in your life.
You're a whole person.
Yeah, you're a whole person.
Yeah.
But if it's about this and about what we propagate for disorder anxiety, then yeah, always recommend working with someone who's anxiety disorder informed. Usually people trained in third wave CBT, ACT, metacognitive therapy, things like that. But yeah, why not communicate that with your therapist? Actually, I think I'm, you know, I may be at risk of techniqueifying and using this compulsively when actually I think I need to work with you on trying to be okay with this feeling, you know, and willfully tolerating it, etc.
Yeah, I mean, the idea, the thought reframing is a valuable tool. I think reframing a negative thought into a positive thought, that can be a thing that you want to bring up maybe in your next session. Like, trying to wrestle my thoughts into positive ones isn't really helpful for me, but the reframe how I'm going to respond to that thought. Oh, I'm thinking, I'm having a scary thought again, I'm reacting to that. Those are can be helpful things. Just not trying to wrestle them into positive thoughts. That doesn't work. Yeah,
because when you're anxious, you're going to feel more distant from the positive thought. It's going to feel worse. So, you know, think of your best friend when you're anxious. No, I just still feel anxious. And now I kind of associate my friend with feeling anxious. You know, I don't really want to do that. Just allowing it to be, then let it float off in its own way. Mm-hmm. I don't, without knowing more, we can't really do that. But have a chat with your therapist. And to be honest, if you have a good connection with them and they're a good therapist, they'll listen, you can work together. If the connection isn't there, then I, you know, recommend maybe searching for someone who's informed.
They probably want to hear it. A good therapist would want to hear that feedback. They're not, you're not challenging them or disrespecting. They probably want to, I would want to hear it. If I'm doing something that isn't really working for you, not sure, let's talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally fine. Good question. Got any others?
I've got one more. Have in the bank.
Let's do it.
I have agoraphobia and bad anxiety most days and nights. I often feel the urge to go and do something that will give me a normal adrenaline rush, like jet skiing, getting a tattoo, or driving a supercar. Not in an intrusive thought way, but more just to feel adrenaline in the right way. Is this common, normal? Would this actually help recovery? Your podcast has really helped me recently. Thank you so much.
That's a really interesting question.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? Short answer, yeah, I think it would. But adrenaline rushes are not special outside of those things. It's your interpretation of them.
Yeah.
Yes, you don't fear the adrenaline rushes because you know why you're getting one in a super fast car or jet skiing or doing adrenaline junkie activities. Mm-hmm. Now you need to realize that actually getting an adrenaline rush, not doing those things because I'm in the middle of an anxiety cycle, is physiologically the same thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's okay to practice with those things and then practice without those things and notice the similarities. It just feels more intense because you don't have outwards focus or anything for your brain to pin that to. You come up to a hairpin turn doing 100 miles an hour in a supercar. You know, you're going to feel those adrenaline whooshes, know, but when you're walking around the supermarket trying to buy vegetables, it doesn't quite match up. That's where you practice. So yeah, I mean, no harm in doing that. Go have fun.
Oh yeah. I mean, it would do those things for fun for sure. I would suggest that, like, first of all, is it common? Yeah. You're trying to think of ways to recover. Totally common. It's a good thing. You're trying to figure it out for yourself, which is fine. But if you're thinking, well, I have a problem with feelings of adrenaline rush in the supermarket, like Josh was saying, so let me go get on a jet ski. I would suggest, well, go get on a jet ski if you like the jet ski, but go to the supermarket. Like, don't use the jet ski as a way to overcome the supermarket panic. Go to the supermarket and panic there. Probably more valuable from a recovery standpoint.
Yeah. Put it lower down on your exposure ladder.
Yeah.
Put it as part of it. You know, also it's just fun. Go have fun.
You know, mix it up though. If you like doing those things, Godspeed to you. Love it.
Yeah. If you often get the urge, then go do it. That's fun. Thank you very much, as always, Drew. And thank you again to all those that have pre-ordered. And how's it make you feel? Once again, if you pre-order it, email me your proof of purchase. I will answer any question you want.
Yeah. And we're recording in December of 2023. So just keep that in mind. If you're listening 2 years from now, you might not get a personal response from Josh because the book's been out. But I will put a link at disorder.fm/41 to the pre-order if you want it. And while you're there, you can send us a voicemail or an email. It did it anyway, or a question.
Yeah, disorder.fm.
Absolutely. Check it out. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for all the support, the reviews, the kind words. We'll be back.